Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
September 18th, 2007, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, side jobs. Welcome back to another edition of the Digital Story. I have lots of good stuff to talk about today. We talk about making money. That's always kind of a fun thing when you're in the photography business to make a little bit of money. I mean, after all, look what we spend on software and camera bodies and lenses and camera bags and memory cards and all that good stuff. We need to make a little bit of money in return for that. And if we don't, well, then we end up taking out the paycheck. And that means you can't get as many goodies, at least for most of us. So we're going to talk about making a little bit of money today. And this is interesting because this is a bit of a controversial subject. And what I mean by that, now, why should making money be a controversial subject? Well, it is, and I'll tell you why. One of the things that I hear a lot more of these days than I heard a few years ago was about these young whippersnappers, these people with the digital rebels and Nikon D40s taking work away from qualified professional photographers. Now, I can see some merit to both sides of the argument. On the professional side, I certainly understand people that want to deliver, who feel strongly about their craft and want to deliver, you know, a quality product. They have high standards and they believe that this is the way the business of photography should happen. It should happen a certain way. And that someone coming in with just a fraction of the equipment and the experience offering lower prices is not necessarily good for the industry or even good for the client. So that is a point of view that I've heard a lot and that I understand, actually. On the other hand, there are a lot of jobs out there in the world of photography that don't need a seasoned pro and that don't need $20,000 worth of equipment to do a good job with. And I think that since we're very much part of a visual society right now, that is really just a matter of people who are gaining experience in photography learn the jobs that are probably best suited for them at each stage along the way. And then people that are seasoned pros understand how to market to the clients that they need and the clients that are going to pay the kind of money they want. So I don't think it's an either-or situation. I think it's a matter of people going after the specific niches in the customer base that's appropriate to their skill level and their experience. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, only from more the amateur side and not so much from the high-level pro side. So what I want to talk about today, and that's why I call it side jobs, is because let's talk about some of the jobs that are appropriate for those of you out there who are very good photographers who aren't paying the rent with your photography, but would like to earn a little bit of money from the skills that you've acquired and the investment in equipment that you've made to this point. Side jobs. Before I get to that, I want to just talk about a few digital story sort of things. One of them is that the photo assignment for this month, for the month of September, is Duotone. And oh man, talk about some fun stuff coming in. I knew this was going to be a good gallery, and you know what? It's going to be a good gallery. And I talked about some techniques in last week's podcast. I've published a couple things on the site. This is really easy technique, and it's a good thing to know how to do or to find what, you know, your version of it is, so that when an assignment comes up or when you want to apply this artistic treatment to an image, you have some idea of where to start. So I really encourage you to participate in this month's photo assignment, even if you don't send in an image, to go ahead and do it and see what kind of results you come up with. And if you like it, if you come up with something that you really like, send it in as an entry to this month's photo assignment, because I think this is going to be a really nice looking gallery. The theme for this month is duotone, and I think it's going to be dynamite, as someone once said in a television sitcom. Also, I want to mention grab shots. Keep them flowing in. They're a major staple of this site, of the Digital Story site. I try to run them on Friday. Sometimes I run them on Saturday, but most of the times I run them on Friday, because what a nice way to end the week with a grab shot, with a fun shot submitted by someone who's a member of our community that we can look at and enjoy and read the anecdote, and if we want, comment about it. And, you know, if there's something that you like about the shot or moves you, or if you have a question about it, feel free to add a comment. Go ahead and ask. The folks that submit the grab shots, I send them notification when their shot is on the site, and so they know, and they'll keep an eye on things a little bit, and they'll answer your questions or if you want a little bit more information. So don't be shy. Submit a comment. The one thing I will say, and this messes people up sometimes, is that when you submit a comment on the Digital Story site, we use movable type as our platform in the background, and sometimes it takes like up to a minute or so before the screen changes, before the comment is actually, you know, recorded on the server and published. So if you hit, you know, the OK button or the submit button, I forget what it is right now, and nothing happens right away, don't worry. It will. Just kind of sit tight for a second and give it a minute or so, and then it will be posted and you can see it. So, but anyway, feel free to comment, and especially on the grab shots and stuff, because this is a real honor to have a grab shot posted. There are lots of submissions, and you know, not everyone makes it. And so if you have something to say, go ahead and say it. Another thing I want to mention right now, and I've posted about this on the site, is that Rick Samolin is doing the America at Home project. Now, this is right now for people living in the U.S. I have some inside information, though, that there's going to be another one very soon for outside the U.S. So you didn't hear it here, okay? But anyway, it's going on this week. I mean, it ends, I believe, on the 23rd. And this is going to be a great project. And basically, it's taking shots of life at home and then submitting it to the America at Home site. And you never know. One of your shot might get picked up by the judges and could end up in this beautiful coffee table book. So it's a like a bonus photo assignment for the month of September, even though you only have 1 week to do it. If you're interested at all, go to the Digital Story and look up. I've posted twice about the America at Home project. Look it up, read about it, and if you have a chance this week, participate. You never know. And if you do participate and you do end up in the book, please let us know, because you know, then you know, we want to fly that flag that one of our guys made it. Or gals, whatever the case may be here. So anyway, if you do it and you get accepted, let us know, and then I will post about it on the site, and we'll even get more bang for the buck, all right? So America at Home is happening this week. While I'm at it, I want to give a big thank you to the folks at Boink Software, the makers of Photomagico. They make the best slideshow software in the world, and it's available for the Mac, and you can find out more about it right on the Digital Story. Just click on the Photomagico tile, and it'll take you right to their site. Okay, let's get back to side jobs here. The first thing that I want to talk about, and again, this conversation is mainly for people who aren't professionals, who aren't even semi-professionals, but who are good picture takers and who have some decent equipment and who want to, you know, maybe do an assignment every now and then for pay. This little segment of the show is for you. One of the first things that I think, you should look at is the type of job. What is an appropriate job for a serious amateur to consider for pay? One of my favorite jobs are family portraits and portraits in general. And I think that outdoor portraits are particularly nice for a couple reasons. One, because they look good. Two, because people like them. And three, you don't need a studio. Nature becomes your studio. So this is one of the things that I think is a good side job for you to consider. Now, what I like to do is, first thing, as a photographer, I like to have a few places scouted out so that when someone talks to me about outdoor portraiture, I have some places to show them. That means that you probably want to take some sample shots. You might want to do some jobs for free. Will you let me take your picture at this park or that park? In exchange, I'll give you some of the shots. And then will you sign a model release and give me permission to show this shot to other people that might be interested in hiring me for portraiture work? And so step one is find some places that you think are good locations. Get some shots from there and then have them available on your website or as prints so you can show people who are interested in hiring you the kind of setting that you're proposing you take their photos in. Another good side job is event photography. And there are lots of events going on all the time. There are things happening at churches. There are things happening at schools. There are clubs. There are just events galore. As a society, we love events. A lot of times, those events need pictures, and they don't really know who to turn to. And a lot of times, they will try to get the pictures donated, and they probably have already gone down that road, and they probably weren't satisfied. Because what happens is, when people volunteer to do something, such as cover an event, then that person decides how much they're going to give. So as a photographer, the person may show up, may take some shots, may take a long time to get them, processed, may make prints, may just throw them on a CD, whatever. But at any rate, the volunteer sort of determines what's going to happen because, hey, if the client, so to speak, doesn't like it, tough, right? Fire me. I'm not getting paid anyway. So the advantage to actually hiring someone, and it doesn't have to be a lot of money, but the advantage to hiring someone to do this is that then there's more responsibility involved. So then the minute that money comes into the picture, then there's a negotiation. And you can say, I'll deliver this and this and this by this time for this amount of money. And you can go back and forth and you can say, I know that you probably could get a volunteer to do this, or maybe you have in the past, but the nice thing about hiring me is that I will do a good job for you. I will agree with you up front what I will do, and then I will see it through because I'm getting paid, and sometimes that makes all the difference in the world. So I think there are a lot of event opportunities out there. Now, there's a couple things around doing events that you need to keep in mind. And one is, first of all, what are you going to offer? What are you going to offer to the client? You have to know that ahead of time. And I think it really pays to have it written down so that you can either show them on a piece of paper or have it posted on your website. But what does the person get? How many pictures? For how long? Is it by the hour or by the event? How do you deliver the pictures? How do you determine what pictures are going to be taken? You need to answer these types of questions. Remember the who, what, when, where, why, the standard sort of 5 W's of journalism. You want to answer that up front for anyone that may be interested. And I really like to have them just posted on a website or wherever, and you can just point people to it. You can have a hard copy to hand to them, but it's really helpful to have a URL. They can share that with other people who may be involved in the decision-making process. So first of all, you have to decide what your philosophy, what your approach to event photography is, and then you have to be able to communicate that to the possible client. Now, part of that is you have to know how much you're going to charge. You have to know how much you're going to charge, and you have to feel good about it. In the beginning, when I started in photography, I charged less than I do now. Why is that? Because in the beginning, I wasn't comfortable charging as much as I do now. I have always charged what I felt was comfortable. Now, people always say, oh, you can charge more. Well, maybe I can, maybe I can't. But you know what? This is what I'm comfortable charging, and this is what I'm going to charge. And I think this is where a lot of professional photographers give amateurs a bad rap, amateurs who are doing side jobs, because they think that they're out there undercutting them, you know, on purpose to gain some sort of advantage. My opinion is that, you know, honest people, people that have integrity and are trying to deliver value, are charging what they believe they're worth at that point. And then as they get more confidence and as they, you know, mature in their craft, they will charge more because they believe that they're worth that. I think that's human. I don't think that's a bad thing. So I don't think that you have to go to an event organizer and say, I'm going to charge you $600 an hour to do pictures and not be able to look them in the eye and do that. So what is a good rate to charge? Well, in the beginning, I feel very comfortable telling people that $65 an hour as an opening rate is a good place to start. Now, I think with a little bit of experience that you can get up to $100 an hour, $150 an hour for the event. And at some point, you need to factor in any post-production that you may do. So, for instance, you could say $100 an hour for the event. There's a 3-hour minimum, because whether I'm working for 1 hour or a half a day, I still lose a half a day because I'm driving, I'm setting up, and I can't do anything else during that time. So let's say $100 an hour with a 2 or 3 hour minimum, and then another $200 for post-production work. And that is to prepare the images to hand this to you, whatever this may be, prints, a CD, whatever the agreed amount upon. Now, you know, you're attaching some value to the job, both for the client and for yourself. Because if you're getting paid $100 an hour to do something, you're going to try to do a good job, right? You're really going to put your back into it because you don't want to disappoint. You want that person to know that you're worth $100 an hour. This is human nature. This is basic stuff. Now, when we get into the equipment part of it, be prepared for the job. Make sure that you have backups for everything. Make sure you have a backup camera body. Now, a lot of times what I do is I just get a person attached to that body, right? So not only do I have a backup camera body, I have a person holding it. And that's, you know, the whole second shooter thing, which, you know, is something that I'm a big fan of. And you might want to listen. The podcast, it's been a while since I did that podcast, but the Second Shooter podcast is really a good podcast that addresses this issue. But make sure you have backups for your camera body. Make sure you backup for your flashes. Even have backup for the main lenses that you're going to use. Have backups for everything. And then I like to have backups for my backups, but you know, I'm just crazy that way. I don't want to lose a shot because of equipment failure. I want to be ready for anything. So whatever your level of comfort is, make sure you have backups so that if something happens to your prime piece of equipment, then you have another way to record the shots. Even if it's an advanced compact or something like that, whatever your backup philosophy is, make sure you have backup. And then make sure you're tooled correctly for the job. And what I mean by that, for example, if you're shooting an event, be able to shoot flash shots, because sometimes the lighting is going to be wacky. Sometimes you're going to have to go indoors. Sometimes you're going to need to use fill flash outdoors, right, for the portraiture work. Whatever it is, be ready to go. Make sure that you have a flash that's in good working order and is powerful. I like to be able to have the flash off the camera too, so that means a dedicated flash cord. And I like brackets because that way I have an extra hand to work with. I don't have to hold the flash and the camera and then have no more hands left. So make sure that you're properly prepared for the job. You know, read up on how other people are shooting, you know, this type of job, if it's events or whatever, and then be ready to go. Okay, now I got one more piece of advice in terms of getting ready for this type of side job. And that is make a shot list. And make sure the client signs off on it. Shot lists are very important because a lot of times on photo assignments, the client thinks, you know, that you're going to shoot this. You're thinking that you're going to shoot that. And then you don't find out that you guys are on different pages until the thing's over and you don't have a chance to make it right. Talk to the client about the shoot. What sort of images are they expecting? Then write it down and then show it to them and then say, is there anything you need to add to this? Do I have it all? Is this ready to go? And then get them to sign off on it. Take care of this before you ever do the shoot. And this is for all types of events. So the county fair, a church event, a wedding reception, a reunion, an anniversary celebration, birthdays, bar mitzvahs, you name it. All these sort of things. Do a shot list and have it ready to go. And I even sometimes will do a shot list for a portrait, a location portrait shoot, if it involves specific types of shots, different locations, different groupings, you know, brother and sister only, mom and dad, and then a big shot. Get all of that figured out ahead of time and get the client to sign off on it. Another opportunity for side jobs centers around sports, kid athletics. And here, soccer, baseball, little league, Pop Warner football, basketball, all these things with kid events, there are both the team photos, sometimes there's individual shots, and then there are the actual action shots that happen when the kids are playing. There are a lot of opportunities here to do side work. And the way that seems to work best is if you're not established in this area, but you want to get established, find out what's going on. Talk to your friends. I'm sure if you have friends with kids at all, they're going to be involved in something. Find out what's going on and then offer to go shoot for free, basically. I will cover the event. You have a big game coming up. I'll make the shots available online, something like Shutterfly Pro or something, where everyone can view them and they can buy prints if they want, and get yourself established. If it's something that feels like a good fit, and believe me, you'll talk to people while you're there, and if you're not talking to people while you're there, you should be. If it feels like a good fit, get to the right person. There's always a decision maker somewhere that organizes the league, that is in charge of the teams, the coaches, whatever, and offer them the opportunity to have you work for them in terms of doing the kid portraits, the group shots, and all that sort of stuff, or if they have something special in mind. This can be, if you like doing this kind of work, this can be a nice, steady side job. This can be something that takes up, you know, a lot of your Saturdays. And if it's enjoyable, it's really a great way to go. It's really a great way to go. And it's something that you think, that I think you should consider. And all of these things that I've talked about, you know, church events, kids sporting stuff, family portraits, this area, this is fine. This is good work. And this isn't, you're not going to be stepping on anyone's toes. This is stuff that needs to be done and documented. So I just wanted to throw some ideas out there. The main thing is make sure you prepare. Make sure that your equipment is in good order. Make sure you know how much you're going to charge. Make sure you write stuff down. I like to have people sign an agreement where I just sort of list everything that I'm going to do and for how much and when I'm going to turn it around. And I usually attach the shot list to that. I like to get those signatures. I make two copies, a copy for me and a copy for the client. Both people have signed copies. I think this is a very good way to do business. And I do agreements for everyone. It could be a friend of the family that wants me to do a family portrait, and I'm going to write up an agreement that lists everything out and have them sign it, and I'm going to have a signed copy too. Because the last thing that I want to do is have anything hurt my friendship because of a misunderstanding that could have been prevented with just a little bit of paperwork up front. Now, the last thing I want to talk about in this area is make sure that you have your house in order in terms of tax reporting, doing business as, write-offs, and things of that nature. So document all of your jobs. Document your expenses associated with those jobs. Make sure you have receipts and so forth. I highly recommend that you get a doing business as, a DBA, for the name for your business. I highly recommend that you set that up with the bank also and get a checking account for the business and have checks, you know, that have the business name on it, and so that people can write you checks with the business name on it and the bank will cash them. This gives people a lot of confidence. They love being able to write a check out, especially the deposits before you've done the work. They love writing a check out to a business instead of a person. It just makes them feel better. So make sure you have your paperwork in order. Make sure that you talk to whoever helps you prepare your taxes about strategies for the best way to take care of this. Make sure you report what you do and how much you spend doing it, and run everything in a nice, clean way. Even if it's a business that only grosses $1,000 a year, and then you have $1,000 in write-offs because of equipment and so forth, because that's why you're doing this. So you zero out. So even if it's a small endeavor like that, document it cleanly, run a tight ship, both with the client and with the government. And believe me, you'll sleep well at night, you'll enjoy it, and I think you'll become a better photographer because these assignments will push you into areas that you might not have done on your own that you'll now prepare for, you'll endeavor, and hopefully you'll succeed, and you'll grow as a photographer too. You'll gain confidence, and you know, who knows what kind of business could spring out of this. So I'm a big fan of side jobs. I think you should put your talents and your equipment to work. Let me know what you think. You know, you can add some comments to the show notes on this podcast. I'm sure there's a million things I'm forgetting here. Let me know what you think. And I might even start a forum discussion on the public group, on our Flickr public group, the Digital Story public group. And we can talk about this a little bit. But it's something that I want to encourage you to do. All right. So whether you're doing it for money or you're doing it for free, go out there, take some pictures. Don't forget about, for those of you that live in the U.S., don't forget about the America at Home project that's running this week. And I will see you here next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.